Okay, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Saints. And I trust that everybody is having a wonderful evening and settled at home after a long day. Start off with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for each sunset you afford us, each day we have an opportunity to renew our love for you and to feel the love you have for us. We pray that all continues to go well with Carol and with Roger and with all that are in your fold. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, this is going to be a threefold talk tonight. On Sunday, May 8th, Ronnie had mentioned people like Jim Jones, false prophets. So this is going to be a short thing in reference to Matthew 24, 4 through 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Discernment is very important. We are not here to convince you of our rightness. We are not here to speak to you, quickening you to our words of retrospect. Our speech, and I'm speaking of we who deliver to you each week, our speech carries study, conveyance, and guidance with the best of our understanding, God's word and wisdom, given of himself to be a means of our salvation. Now, in referencing Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, which is a good little section to read, we speakers of the scripture in this day are like-minded in sharing this precious message. Our endeavor is to share this word of love. That is ultimately up to you to rightly divide in the hope of readiness come the hour that is not known. We must not rely entirely on our own knowing. However, we can act on our understanding. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to something I have here, and it is the burden of Habakkuk. Not certain if I pronounced it right, but you understand what I'm saying. So we'll start chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? We read of what Habakkuk witnessed, and it rings familiar. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Habakkuk questions God, not in a judgmental fashion, rather in relation to what appears to him to be inaction at the start. Oftentimes we hear people making a statement that if there is a just and loving God, why is he letting these terrible things happen? We don't necessarily question out of curiosity. Rather, we just want the bad things to go away. I make my case as with our children. We try to guide them, warn them, prevent bad things from affecting them, but at some point, they must walk on their own and learn from their mistakes, and hopefully from other people's mistakes that often affect them directly. All of this comes under the heading of free will, whereas your free will and the decisions you make can affect you and affect others around you, as well as other people's free will can affect them and you. God will hold your hand to a certain point. But you must learn to stand on your own two feet. You must learn to walk upright with your faith, even if for a moment God was removed from the picture and our understanding. These simple rules would still ring true for your survival in the world. Fortunately, we have God to help. We'll go ahead and move along to Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 15, verse 1, a psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In other words, don't dish it out if you can't take it. Don't do unto others if you can't handle them doing it unto you. Now, when God does answer, it is meaningful, powerful, and in his time. Returning back to Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Verse 13, behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. The cross-reference to Ezekiel points to the measures God will apply to Jerusalem for her iniquities. Ezekiel 24, verse 9. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city. I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on the wood, kindle the fire. This is verse 10 now. Heap on the wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Verse 11. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot, and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. Now we'll return back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This statement was important enough that God saw fit to reinforce it in the New Testament. In chapter 3 of Habakkuk, we are reminded of God's power, his wrath meted upon the unjust. Yet, when all is lost, the faith in the Lord, held by the faithful, brings us to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What we can learn from Habakkuk is when you question your faith in God, and you may not understand his actions, it is important to remember that God is just and is there if you are willing to receive him. Life may not be defined by what you let go, but by what we let in. Okay, moving along. A couple of weeks back, Ronnie was in Matthew chapter 10 and was reading, and Cecil was in the background, and I heard Cecil say, that sounds like it should be a song. Well, that sparked my interest, and I haven't put it to music yet, but here are the words that I have put together. And this is all based on Matthew chapter 10. The title of this is, There Go I to the Sheep Astray. Counted in a number of 12 and gathered by him, inspired by the one who holds sway on high, to put right to they that sit and a light that is dim, there go I to the sheep astray. From this city I departed, having not been heard. A tale of two cities passing is less than that of the place where heed was not given to my word. There go I to the sheep astray. I am but a sheep in the company of wolves, having understood the serpent and his ways, but conducting my means as gentle as a dove. There go I to the sheep astray. For I stand in the gaze before councils of men, a message I convey that is authored by the Lord, and I endure hate to be saved come the end. There go I to the sheep astray. I fear not they that my body they can kill, but powerless are they to dispatch a soul. By him of my body and soul remains at his will, there go I to the sheep astray. I need take of my cross and follow after him. I have my life, and thus will it I lose. For in losing my life for his sake, will I find it again. There go I to the sheep astray. Folks, thank you for listening, and we'll end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for providing these words to us that we can share. And as I said before, that we can share in this love together. And we all need that love, regardless of how actions or events may befall us. And we seek your light and your wisdom and your care. In Christ's name, amen.